You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
That's right, we are going to be hopefully ready, steady, and learning. And I'm speaking with Elam School of Fine Arts honours student Theo McDonald, who has drafted a manifesto of Bowie-oriented ontology. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you finding the headphones?
Great.
Cool. Yeah. Good. Some Fantastic. People love them, some people hate them. I think I kind of wanted to begin off because Bowie-oriented ontology, it's a bit of a mouthful, and a lot of people will kind of like hear it but not really understand it. So do you want to just explain to us what Bowie-oriented ontology is?
So Bowie-oriented ontology is an ideology based on trying to see the world through the eyes that you imagine David Bowie might have used.
Cool.
And it's an intentionally stupid ideology because, like, that's kind of the fun thing about, you know, working in art is that you can do things that are openly stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's filled with paradox. It's this thing of, you know, you have to... Bowie-oriented ontology, like Bowie, you should look to the future, but also you're obsessing over a dead rock star. So it's, you know, it's a kind of joke. But also it's good because the acronym is BOO, which makes it easier to remember.
So how did you start developing that? Where did the idea come from?
Well, last year I lived as David Bowie for 3 months. And
you lived as David Bowie?
Yes, that was sort of...
Wow.
The way you do it is you buy one suit and cut off all your hair and really commit to it.
Yeah.
And then when people ask you questions and trivia questions to try and get you, you have all the answers. So, you know what type of cigarettes he smoked. And then you just smell really bad for 3 months because you're wearing the same suit the whole time.
Jesus, that's quite a commitment. What did you gain from that?
I think it kind of pushed me past a lot of like stuff of, you know, how identity is a lot of the time wrapped up in what we wear. Forcing yourself to wear something that isn't what's comfortable or suitable or how you really feel that day means that you have to reconsider how you construct your own identity.
Mm. Did you really form a connection as well with being Bowie?
Yeah. I mean, I was obviously a Bowie fan before, but I was always a bit more of a Lou Reed fan. And then when he died earlier this year, it just devastated me and it kept festering away and away and away. And then around the middle of the year, I wrote this sort of one-page document outlining how you could live according to Bowie.
And so what are you doing now with that experience that you of taking on his identity? How are you like pushing it forward and kind of...
Well, I'm sort of just continuing with this track of trying to do as many different things as possible at once. So in the past year, through Bowie-oriented ontology, I've made a 72-page graphic novel. I started a band. I did a series of performances. I went vegan because Prince told me to in a dream. Like, it's those sort of just taking opportunities when they come.
Yeah. And have you had much response from other people? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've tried to enlist people because, you know, I feel like you can't have an ideology if you don't stop people on the street and explain it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think generally the response has been, oh, yeah, Theo's doing his thing again. Mm. He's talking about Bowie. We get it.
Do you feel like people don't really take you seriously, or is it something to be taken seriously?
It's not something to be taken seriously.
Cool.
I think it's a nice exercise, but it's not a serious thing. Like, you know, it's comedy.
Yeah. And what Bowie did you take on? Like, what period of his life were you really looking at?
I took on the serious Moonlight period, which was 1983. It's the period that no one... Serious Bowie fans, particularly ones who write books on Bowie, will begin the book by saying, I loved everything he did from 1969 all the way up until 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll talk for a long time about how great they are because they don't like the pop period.
Why?
But, because it's seen as when he sold out and sort of became a stadium rock star.
I love that Bowie.
Yeah,
period.
I love that Bowie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's amazing. And it's also really cool because people who do love that Bowie don't really get Bowie stuff directed at them that often.
Mm.
So people I encountered who were, you know, absolutely infatuated with Bowie when he came to New Zealand in 83, it kind of, you got to see these lights spark up in people's eyes and they'd tell you about that sort of amazing experience they got to have.
So the band that you made, was it all based around Bowie tracks? Or was it kind of like a covers band? Or
well, we're called Piss Cannon. Mm-hmm. We're terrible. We're the worst band ever because we don't rehearse and we made our own guitars.
Whoa.
So it's me and three other artists. And yeah, we built them out of like copper wire and stuff. And we don't make notes as much as like sort of random bong sounds.
Yeah.
But my theory is if you sing a song to the same tune as the song, it's the same song.
Right.
Yeah. So like we do like, you know, Stooges and Ramones, and we did Bruce Springsteen, and we tried doing Blondie, but Blondie's really hard.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when does this stop? Like, is this an ongoing thing for you? Like, where are you going to take it?
Hypothetically, it's forever. I'm currently, you know, had to do Handin last week. Mm. And so I'm just like focusing on making comics at the moment, but there's a lot of ideas that still have to happen, and it's a nice, you know, Bowie oriented ontology can work as a brand,
right?
So it's a thing you can just, you know, stamp on the end of something. You're like, yes, this is part of the same project. Isn't my practice coherent or something?
Would you ever look at other artists or kind of exploring them,
or like exploring sort of other I think Bowie's good because he's got ubiquity.
Mm-hmm.
So there aren't that many musicians who have ubiquity in that same way where, like, you know, everyone has a recognition. So, you know, Prince is one of those people and Michael Jackson's one of those people, but there's not a huge number. I did a bunch of stuff with Lou Reed a couple of years ago, and I found that it's hard to connect with people when they feel like they're locked out of a conversation.
Yeah. And whereas Bowie is one where a lot of people can have like some form of connection.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about Bowie. Like, yeah, he's existed in so many different ways over 40 years that a lot of people like can have that moment of like teenage crush for Bowie, even though like he would have been 50 at the time.
Mm.
Like, you know, I know people who will not listen to any Bowie pre-1995 because they're like, that drum and bass period, that was the perfect Bowie. I think it's really cool.
Do you think that people's relationship with Bowie changed after his death? Like, were you doing Bowie before he died and then after?
I was, doing Bowie over the whole sort of...
Yeah.
As in, I lived as Bowie before he died and then kept obsessing over Bowie after he died. And I think it kind of pulled a lot of feelings out of the woodworks. Like, people got to actually talk about what Bowie meant to them.
Mm.
But also maybe because of his 10-year hiatus, everyone assumed, like, you know, when a celebrity is effectively dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'd already cemented his kind of legacy.
Mm. Do you have a favourite album? Do you have a favourite song?
A favourite song? Oh, my God. Well, my karaoke song I found is Heroes.
Nice. Yeah, that's always a good...
Well, it's reliable and everyone knows it. And Young Americans is so quick. And I never realised it's, like, the fastest song I've ever heard.
Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so what are you gonna carry on doing? Have you finished your honours?
I finished my honours, assuming I pass. and I'm currently just working on sort of, I make a lot of comic books, so I'm just kind of working and doing little comedy things. I got to see Matt Groening, who made The Simpsons, talk a couple of weekends ago.
Wow.
And I was like, oh yeah, I love comics. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Brilliant. So just.
Just whatever. Working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Theo, for speaking with us. It's an fascinating research. I mean, yeah, gosh. Do you want other people to be able to kind of do the same thing or have like the experience of being like, hey, actually, if I really love...
Yeah. Well, I think it's that thing about trying to, you know, acknowledge the validity of fanship and how those are, you know, meaningful experiences for people and kind of position fanship within art from an interior perspective, because you know, you often get people talking about fanship without explicitly identifying themselves with a fan category.
Mm.
And Bowie's quite a good one because it's a very diverse group of fans.
Definitely. Thank you so much for popping in.
Thank you for having me on. No worries.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.